said the man at his desk. Oh, I'm going to a new world, said the child. And he stood, and he stood, and he stood, and 'twere well that he stood. I'm going to a new world, said the child, and he stood.
Oh, I'm sounding drums of war,
said the man at his desk.
Oh, I will not fight your war,
said the child, and he stood, and he stood, and he stood, and 'twere well that he stood.
Oh, I will not fight your war,
said the child, and he stood. Oh, but don't you love your country, said the man at his desk.
Yes, I do, but you don't,
said the child, and he stood, and he stood, and he stood, and 'twere well that he stood.
I do, but you don't,
said the child, and he stood.
The music was an excerpt from a song, The Bell, by an Iraqi-American, Stephen Smith. Voices of Iraqi-Americans on War and Peace. March 19th will mark the third anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq. Today, we will hear from three Iraqi-Americans who live in Oregon, Washington, and California. They will share their views on the invasion and solutions for peace. I am Mia Kim.
Suraya Sayadi. I was born in Kirkuk, Kurdistan part of Iraq. I left at age of 12 because it was during 1973-74 when we were told by United States the Kurdish people to uprise against the Ba'ath Party. At that time, Saddam was the vice president of Iraq, and they will free liberate the Kurdish people. And majority of the males and intellectuals and all those, they went to the mountain to do that war, like revolution, actually. And then we were betrayed by United States. I ended up in refugee camps in Iran, and majority of my family, then we got divided after that. We were in a Kurdistan part of Iran at the time, our camp. And then they exiled us to a very far away in the Afghanistan border. I was there, and then 3 years, and then I was sponsored, like adopted by an American family in North Dakota.
Luwai al-Hashami. I was born in South Iraq. I spent most of my life in Iraq. I had my high school degree in Iraq. And I left Iraq after the Desert Storm. I came to the United States in 1992. After the Desert Storm, you know, people in Iraq uprised against the dictatorship at that time. And they thought that with the help of the United States and the world, they can get rid of the brutal dictator at that time. I was one of millions of people who went on the street and said, no more Saddam Hussein. You destroyed the country, you went into Kuwait, you put us in harm's ways. So therefore, you had to step down. Saddam Hussein and his dictatorship were about to fall down at that time. But the Republican administration, who used to lead the United States by the George Bush the father, he is the one ordered Norman Schwarzkopf to give Saddam Hussein the capability to destroy this uprising. Therefore, we failed. Therefore, we had to leave Iraq because there was no place for us to stay. And people who stay there get slaughtered, and most of them get either killed or jailed for a long time. So we had to leave Iraq, and we went to Saudi Arabia. And 2 years later, we had the opportunity to come here, so we came.
My name is Inaz Mohammed. I'm a former doctor. In 1994, Saddam Hussein decided to make his punishment a little bit more harsh on those who desert the army. The decision is that even after the jail, they have to live with this stigma for the rest of their lives. So the best way for him is to cut part of their body, something that everybody can see. So he chose to cut the ear or auricle. So he would cut that piece and let that man live with the stigma. My job as an anesthesiologist was to anesthetize those patients. And I would never agree to be the knife of Saddam Hussein. If I participate in a crime, like cut an ear off somebody, and I know this is something irreversible, he would never get his ears growing again. So that's it. I will lose my self-respect. And at the time, I would never accept myself for who I am. I left Iraq in 1997. And thank God I was successful to get a job in Yemen. While I was in Yemen, me and my ex-husband, we went to the United Nations agency there, and we talked about our situation and our sufferings, and they agreed to put our name to accept immigration anywhere. And after 3 years, we got the approval to go to the United States.
I left 1974, and I haven't been there since. And the rest of my family, some of them I haven't even seen for the past 30 years. So I have sisters in Iraq. One is in Baghdad. One is in Kurdistan, Sulaymaniyah. Another one is exiled. She ran away from Saddam's execution. She's a physicist. She's in Turkey. And I have a brother who was in Iran. But my life, really, I don't know where I belong. I'm a U.S. citizen for almost 30 years, but my heart and my family are there. But for the past 30 years, they've been in turbulence because Iraq has been in turbulence by the dictators they had put in place. You know, in 1991 again, they told the Kurds to uprise again against Saddam, and they abandoned them in the mountain. And every day when I was seeing the TV, like thousands of people were dying in the cold. And my whole family had gone walking with all those thousands of Kurdish people, and I didn't know where they were. And apparently my brother-in-law was shot in the arm. By the time they got to Iran in a week or so in that harsh mountain, he got gangrene and his arm got paralyzed. My other nephew was shot in the leg. And then Iran didn't accept them, and they came back to Iraq again. It's had life for the Iraqi people, especially the Kurds, has been a hell. And all was produced by the policies, foreign policies of the United States for the people of Iraq. I think many people know that Saddam was brought to power by CIA, and he did all this genocide and destruction of from every group.
I visited Iraq 8 months after the invasion, and another year later after that visit, 20 months, second visit. My family is okay because the city I'm from is in the south. It's a quiet city. It doesn't have much of oil. It's not a rich city. City close to the desert. No one have interest in it, so not too many people go there. And even the Japanese, they send the Japanese there, and the Japanese accept to go there because they know it's a very peaceful, small town. So it's not really much in that town. It's not like Basra or Kirkuk or these towns who have all the oil fields, so everyone want to go there to get the oil. But I'm in touch with them almost weekly, because nowadays they have internet services there, so we can talk on the MSN messengers, Yahoo messengers. These some of the improvement they have now. They have computers, internet services, which they didn't have during the Saddam years. It was actually prohibited at that time, unless you are one of the top secrets.
The funny thing is, the sad thing is, it makes me both laugh and cry at the same time. I left Iraq in 1974, and everything was monitored. Each time I called my sister and those, the phone conversation were monitored. And now we have that and this site. In the United States, it's monitored our phone conversation. Isn't that ridiculous? This is supposed to be land of freedom, wasn't it? There's always clicking sound, They have said so even themselves, as you heard in the news. They monitor anybody who calls to other countries, especially if you are calling Iraq, Iran, and that's where I have family in all those countries, Iraq, Iran, Turkey. So it's monitored, I'm sure of that. And I hear clicking a lot of time. And sometime I make joke with my sister. I said, oh, whatever, you are listening. We are not saying anything. That's what our life. When you going to bomb us next?
I went to Iraq in December 2003, September 2004, and September 2005. In 2003 and 2004, I spent all the time with my family in Baghdad. But in 2005, the unsecured condition in Baghdad was beyond any imagination. So my mother and my brother couldn't take it anymore. And they moved temporarily now to stay in Jordan for a while until God knows how long it will take for Baghdad to come back to its secure situation. When I came to the United States, I saw them as wonderful people. But look at my family, how do they see Americans? Because they saw them as occupier. They didn't see them as liberator. There was no any sign tell me those people came to help me, because the whole condition in my country was getting worse and worse. If you come to help me, why would you destroy the infrastructure? Why would you stop giving me electricity and clean water? Why don't you think twice before you pull the trigger and kill somebody who's just a suspect? God knows how many people got killed.
The ones who sponsored me, adopted me, taken me in, they think we are taking democracy to Iraq. I was having discussion with my mom recently in Minneapolis. I said, my sister is telling me no, and she is not political at all. At all, she's not with any side. She says this is wrong. They don't have electricity and water majority of the day. And you know how hot it gets in Baghdad? Sometimes 120 degrees. She says we sleep on the floor so we could keep cool. And the refrigerators don't work. They have no electricity. 1 hour, maybe sometime a day. Why? And the sewer system actually was never fixed properly since the bombing in 1998 during Clinton time. Lots of children died.
The chaos in Iraq is unbelievable. And every year I go, I see the situation is way worse than my imagination. When I talk to them about what do you think about the future or what's your plan for the future, they would laugh. They said, who would ever think about tomorrow? We can't guarantee if we survive this day. So let us just think about today. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? If we can manage to sleep this night, or if we got burned or killed, who knows? Going everywhere in Iraq, daily trip to your work, it's an adventure. Going to school is an adventure. So many mothers just couldn't send their kids to school anymore. Rape, steal kids, kidnapping, they ask for ransom, especially from, you know, rich family or middle class family. There is a kind of, I saw it like an organized crime against all professional people, doctors, engineer, any well-known person, somebody who can make a difference and rebuild this country. You don't know who's doing that conspiracy against the professional people in Iraq, but there was a hidden plan to encourage those people to flee, to leave the country. And first, it would be a threat letter, ask him to leave the country. We will kidnap your son. We will burn your car. We will kill you, that kind of thing. Many of professors who taught me got killed. So with the time, you see the hospitals start empty. It's empty from professional doctors.
Iraq, the women were the most progressive women in the whole Middle East. Very educated. Even under all that hardship, under all that thing of Saddam, my sister and I was not there most of my life, but my sister, through all that genocide, exile, they studied. One became she's an English teacher in Baghdad. The other one is a nurse, and this other one became physicist, and they were all in Iraq. We didn't have head covers. If you didn't want to wear head covers, you didn't. And women had really equal right with men. Sometimes they even got paid better when they were in profession. When the king was overthrown, these people rose up. They had socialist movement, you know, communist movement, and everything to have women's right. Lots of the women, they were in every place. And now the women, they can't even work. My sister, because of this invasion, hasn't been able to work in 2 years. And how are they feeding their children? I saw her for the first time after 30 years. She was only 8 years of age when I've seen her. She was 38 with her 3 sons. In another country, I saw her. I didn't see her in Iraq because I haven't been able to go back to Iraq. The stories she told me, the thing, every day they have bombing. Now they're stealing the women for ransom. Especially if they know you are professional or you have money or you have people outside. This is what this war has caused. Terrorism. Iraq never had terrorists. Why, my sister was saying, they have left the border so loose, United States. Is it on purpose? She really had a good question. She says, with all this might, all this power, why can't they keep the borders closed? Why some of those terrorists are coming from outside? So they could stay longer, they say it's, there's more chaos in Iraq. I think that's the purpose. Because they don't want to get out. Believe me, they want to build bases, they want to have everything. And the Iraqis, at the end of the day, won't get very much.
I don't know. I feel one day I will bring some good news with me, but every time when I go back, it's just too much anger sometimes. I can't even control my feeling. I just feel so devastated. I wish I have more money to support those people. If it is to help them get food or to help them get quality life, to help them get water, everyday life basic needs, they don't have it. And they are struggling to get it. Every day. We're not talking about a week or two. It's almost 3 years now. Unemployment rate about 50%. Till now, people couldn't get their job back. And there are people who just quit because they don't think they will be able to go to the same job. It's a huge risk to go to your job under all that unsecured situation. You hear bombing every couple of hours. And then gunshots, it's like, you know, it's like nothing. I mean, it doesn't scare them at all. I was the only one who got scared when I hear gunshots. It's something weird. But for them, it's like normal.
How many have died in this war? We are counting the American soldiers, which I'm very sad about. But how many Iraqis? Why we are not counting how many Iraqis have been killed through this war? How you like not to be able to sleep at night because you are bombed? How we would like it if somebody came in here and invaded and every day they were blowing things up? One of my sisters said, tell them to come live here in Baghdad for a week. They may change their mind. Just live as a civilian under war. See what is war. They may change their mind.
When I go to Iraq, I can't imagine those soldiers are the same American, came from the same country that I used to have wonderful friends and peaceful people around me. That's the thing that I'm really, till this moment, I can't assimilate it in my head. Why Americans act differently in Iraq? Why they don't show the same beautiful picture that I see here? When a soldier in Iraq, it's very easy for him to humiliate Iraqi man in any checkpoint, especially if he believes that he's a suspect doing something or he's a, you know, like having a gun or something. You know, everybody living in such a chaotic situation, he has to protect his family at least. So he has to carry a gun with him. And many people got killed just for somebody to steal his car. So you might get killed for stupid reason there. So people try to get to carry guns with them, try to be more protective when it comes to their family and their kids. And in every checkpoint, you go through that same horrible feeling that you may get humiliated in a way or another. The way they search the Iraqis, the way they talk to them. You don't feel that you are in your country, as if they are the the owners and we are the guests.
We cannot say Iraq saved them because people go there and get kidnapped. On one hand. On the other hand, we must admit that the Iraqis now have internet services. We must admit that the Iraqis now have freedom to express themselves. There are a number of parties working. There are a political process. Election happened 3 times. I mean, we must admit the good of it and the bad of it.
My sister begged me to, if I was able to help in the United States, I should help. And I did. I was like two-hearted about it. Because, you know, you can't have a really a good election under occupation. But for the first time, the Kurds in Iraq could say we are human beings. Our vote may count. That's why I did it. And people were really happy for the first time trying to vote. And I hope they honor that vote. I hope, you know, they honor the vote. Like the Kurdish people wanted Kirkuk back in its own proper geographical part of Kurdistan. That's what every Kurd voted for. And the same with the other people, you know, the Shiites or the Sunnis, the Assyrian, the Christian. Everybody had, I hope, equal opportunity.
If you think about everyday life in Iraq, it's like hell. And still when they ask them to go to vote, they would go and do it because there is no any other option. They don't know who are the nominees, by the way. I mean, there were no debates like here. People afraid from announcing their names. The candidates, they afraid from listing their names because they know they may get killed. And the borders is open for everyone. Unsecured border all the time. So it's open invitation for anybody who had a revenge with the Americans. It's open field. And I saw faces that I've never seen before in Baghdad, if they are Arabic or a different nationality. But it didn't look to me my country. I didn't have that feeling like I'm in my homeland like before. Inside my heart, I couldn't wait to come back to Seattle. I didn't like myself at that moment because I felt like as if I'm taking off my skin. I should always think or believe that Iraq is my only country, my only homeland. But when I went back, especially in 2005, I didn't feel for a moment that this was my Iraq or this is my beautiful Baghdad. I didn't see the same buildings. 50% of them were destroyed. They tried to create new market, make people busy buying things, but still nothing will be have any value in your life if you don't have your security. And that's why I didn't feel security for a moment in Baghdad. And I couldn't wait to come back and share my stories with everybody here who would care about the future of humanity. What's happening in Baghdad can happen anywhere else if we don't work together to stop it.
War was a mistake. It was a big mistake. Republicans wanted to do the war for their own reasons. So people in Iraq, the majority of people in Iraq, did not support the war as Republicans indicated. That is not true. They supported the removal of Saddam Hussein. And there is a huge difference between supporting the war and supporting the removal of Saddam Hussein.
To remove him, they could have removed them many ways. U.S. has that power. But the reason for the war is to control the oil, the power, and the thing around the world because they wanted to control Iraq. You know, in 1991, when they started that Kuwait war, they had signaled Saddam, United States, to attack. Because then they could set up their bases in Saudi Arabia and in Kuwait to get prepared for the invasion of Iraq. And now they're doing that in preparation for invasion of Iran. And they don't want Iraq and Iran, Middle Eastern countries, to have power, to sell their own oil, to have all that stuff.
I know everybody was worried about civil war. There will be no civil war, but there will be chaos. No civil war, because I know we lived all our life one hand. Kurdish, Arab, Sunni, Shia, we're all one hand. At the end, we're all Iraqi citizens. And we support each other. I'm against the dividing Iraq into three parts, and I'm against the war. All what I dream about is to have my country back, one piece.
We never had a separation of Shia, Sunni. That was has never been an issue. Because now they wanted to divide Iraq more. Even the people who are progressive, they're talking about the war Shia Sunni. And now they're making Iraqis to feel that way. They divided the unity of the people.
I want the political process to move on. I want the country to be rebuilt. I want job opportunities. I want education opportunities. All these will end the war. All this will put stop to that war. All this will put end to the reasons for the presence of the foreign troop in that country.
I think the best way to end this disaster in Iraq would be to ask for international help. It's not only American problem now. It's the whole world problem. It's a humanitarian disaster, what's happening in Iraq now. So the first step would be to make the decision to stop the war. A gradual withdrawal of American troops and replacement by international peacemaker. Those international peacemaker forces has to be the majority from Muslim country, because one of the reasons that the insurgency using in Iraq is that they are killing, giving themselves the excuse to kill, is that they are killing Crusadian. You know, it's totally wrong idea. And Islam was never against Christianity or against Judaism. So at least we will save lives and let everybody participate. But for sure, for American troops to withdraw from Iraq, that's one of the basic reasons to bring peace back to the region. Because no Iraqi government would have enough legitimacy from the Iraqis unless it should be elected by the Iraqi themselves under Iraqi supervision. Once they know that the election is going on under American supervision, they know that those are people who had kind of agreement with the Americans, or they are just, you know, toys, but the real person who's making the decision is American. So that's why the Iraqis doesn't respect the government right now, because all the process happened under American supervision. And a peacekeeper would stay for at least, like, it may take 6 months at least to re-elect a government that has enough legitimacy by the Iraqis. And the Iraqis themselves are creative enough to rebuild their country. But they will need, of course, a lot of resources, like money, to rebuild their country. And I hope the promises that we got from the Congress here would be true, and those billion would go to the right people.
I think they should pull out, as of today, as of this moment, everything out of Iraq. I know they say they're going to be civil war or whatever. In my opinion, that will settle. But then they cannot allow another country like Jordan, especially Turkey, going in there, dismantling with people. That's the thing I'm afraid of. Somewhere like Iran, all those influence. See, that's the thing. If we pull out just directly, other neighboring countries could have lots of influence. But I want the troops out, but international monitoring from outside, not for a long time either, till things settle, till they elect their own government. That's why I was happy about the election. I thought if they get election, they get what they want, the Iraqis, even though it's not perfect, and then the American troops could pull out, these people could train their own people, and things would normalize. But no, they keep taking more weapons. And the other way we could stop this war, I think, to educate as much as we can, each of us have that responsibility as an American citizen to educate another American citizen to say to our representative, this is wrong, do not support war, any war, especially this one in Iraq. Work, everybody in Congress and Senate, to end this war.